Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Hover. Finding the perfect domain name is incredibly easy with Hover. Go to hover.com/hamnation and save 10% off your first purchase. By DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday, until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 293, March 29th, 2017. We are joined by the CEO of the ARRL, Tom Gallagher. Hello, everybody. It's Wednesday night, 8 o'clock Central, and we have a fantastic show tonight. We're going to do something very different. My name is Bob Heil. K9EID, and I'm in the plant where we do all this crazy stuff, build all kinds of microphones and headsets and whatever. But we've done enough that the last few weeks. Tonight, we have very, very special guests. But before we get started, we just want to make sure everything's okay in Costa Mesa. Gordo West, how you doing? You okay?
All is well. Off to Las Vegas, ARRL Hamfest tomorrow night.
Okay, we'll come back to you and talk about that. But in the meantime, we're going to do something we have never done. We're going to have a half an hour of a guest and his other guest friend. And that is the new CEO of the ARRL, Tom Gallagher. Tom, welcome to Ham Nation. Thanks for being here.
Greetings from headquarters, Bob and Gordon.
Well, we are so happy you're here because what we want to do is we want to talk about the AM rally, and then we're going to get into some other things that happens around Newington. The other guest is Clark. Clark, how are you doing? You're on the phone tonight.
Well, I am. Just like a lot of ham radio, it's theater of the mind, and it's audio only, and I figured this would be the most appropriate medium to be on with you. But I appreciate the invite very much.
Well, we all learned about Clark back in N1 BCG days. Tell us a little bit about what you did there a few months ago. That was quite a deal, and I think we have a picture of that. We have your QSL card also. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, if you have the QSL card that the ARRL put together, it's quite brilliant, and I think quite a masterpiece. The story is, the call sign N1BCG I asked for and got because here in Greenwich, a mile and a half from my house, in fact, in 1921, on December 11, the very first transatlantic message was successfully sent to Ardrossan, Scotland, from Greenwich, Connecticut, using shortwave frequencies. At the time, it was of no use to the commercial telegraphy stations, but there was a group of amateurs organized by the ARRL, and participants from the Radio Club of America had set up a station in here in town, 1BCG, and using the very new vacuum tube oscillator and amplification technology, they were the first to send a 12-word message from here to Scotland. And that kicked off basically the interest in shortwave frequencies for amateur radio. I consider that to be a very significant event. So having gotten the vanity call sign N1BCG to celebrate that, I wanted to make a big deal of it on a yearly basis. I met Tom just before this year's event, and he said he wanted the ARRL to come in and make a big deal of it to the extent that it should be, because it was the 95th anniversary in 2016. And so he and the staff at the league really took it from being just me and a couple of friends celebrating the event to, as I said, supersizing it and putting the full force of the ARRL behind it. We had several stations set up. It was covered on sideband. It was covered on CW. And he even said, we absolutely want to have an AM station as well. In fact, the AM station was well, I think the most fun because it involved Joe Walsh's Valiant, Viking Valiant, and his NC-303 receiver, which he had given to the league. And so we used classic boat anchor, and I say that lovingly, equipment for the one BCG event back on December 11th. So it was a wonderful event, and I really hats off to the ARRL for their interest in the event and a very balanced approach by including the AM mode in it.
Well, it was a lot of fun out here on this end, I'll tell you, getting to listen to all of the many stations that came aboard, and that was great. So I appreciate everything you did to put it together. But that also kind of stirred up another little deal that you guys did, and it's happening this weekend, the AM Rally. And what we're going to do is play a video. Unfortunately, we can't play the music. The music is really good behind it, but this show goes out to a lot of repeaters and various amateur radio transmitters. So we're going to let you see this fabulous piece that was done, and you can kind of narrate through it, Clark, and let's see what happens. And here it comes. All right.
Well, so, Bob, being on the phone, I'm not able to see it, but I do want to let every one of your viewers know that the AM Rally was put together with the ARRL in mind, because now with Tom heading up the league, there's what we're seeing and what we're hearing on the air is a very much more balanced approach where there's an inclusiveness that I think the ham radio community has not experienced in a long time. And it's very refreshing, too, where all modes are being represented. One of the modes that seems to have fallen behind, I would say, in attention has been the AM. And it's played such a significant role in amateur radio history, and there's a resurgent interest in it. There's a lot of new manufacturers coming out with rigs that sound great on AM. A lot of AM buttons are showing up on contemporary rigs, but there isn't the same kind of awareness as to what it's all about. So we consulted with the league and said we'd like to put together an event which isn't for AMers specifically, but rather is for everybody who is interested in phone operations to try out the AM button. They bought their rigs, whether it's at a ham fest or brand new, and it's got this capability. Why not take advantage of it? And so we wanted to create a very educational, inclusive event for those folks to learn about the AM mode because it's historically significant. It has certain benefits over the other modes. And it's if you look at ham radio, it has so many facets to it. It's like a Swiss Army knife. And we want to make sure that people are understanding what the value is of the AM tool in that Swiss Army knife. And so that's what the AM Rally is all about. So we started promoting it early, a couple of months early, and with your help now, of course. The AM Rally, in a nutshell, is an opportunity for all operators who have a rig which is capable of AM transmission to use it and to find the ideal settings for it, to get the most value out of their rigs, which they paid for, and to make contacts. And we've got certificates, which we're going to be giving out for most number of contacts to make it fair. We've broken the power categories out into five different segments. So, you know, if you have a QRP rig or if you've got a solid-state rig, which only does 20 watts, or if you've got some broadcast transmitter, it doesn't matter. You have your own class of power. So you'll be with your peers, your power peers, we'll call it, and you have an equal opportunity to score points. For most number of contacts, most number of states, it really is just about fun more than anything else. And so, again, the two key things about the AM Rally is it's something which is encouraging all people who are interested in phone operations to learn more about AM and just to have a good time for the weekend.
Well, the main thing that I see about it is there's going to be a lot of people that have never worked amplitude modulation. And just every rig has a button. I think we even have a slide of that, Brian, has a button that says AM or a knob. Do that. Don't be afraid, because what most of the new rigs, when you go over and push that button, it will reduce the carrier and bring on the audio. You might have to adjust the audio just a bit, but don't be shy. And a lot of guys will say, I had one today call me and said, my rig only does 25 watts. I can't get any more from it. You don't want to, because here's the deal. On AM, they have to reduce the power because the PEP is four times. That means your 25-watt rig is doing 100 watts. Now, if you crank that carrier up to 100 watts on AM, you would blow up your power supply and output probably because it'd be wanting to do four times. So think about it. It's hard for a lot of the sideband guys. I'm only running 20. No, you're not. You're running 100 watts. And so that's very important. I just want you to do it. Put that AM button on and away you go. And we really want to make a big deal out of this thing because AM is really, really gearing up. And Tom, are you hearing a lot of this in Newington about the AM community has just exploded? What do you think?
Oh, it's hundreds of my newest best friends are in the AM community, and which is great because I think sometimes we lose sight. The whole purpose of ARRL is to advance the art and the science and the enjoyment of amateur radio. And it can be enjoyed in so many different ways. You know, we're a large tent. We're a city with many neighborhoods. And we want to promote and support every legitimate community in amateur radio. And AM is one that is a lot of fun. It's great to listen to. It's fun to propagate. And it's also fun to build things. You can actually build things with your own hands because the scale's big enough to work on. I remind folks, it's kind of like your old 1964 Mustang. You open the hood and there's something to work on. And we'll talk about that in a minute, I guess. But AM's a great mode in its most basic operation. The first thing I ever had was a Heathkit Sixer lunchbox, AM. transceiver, or in the most sophisticated form of the kind that Bob Allison's going to be reviewing in a forthcoming issue of QST, and we'll get to that too.
Yeah, well, we've got a lot of activity on AM these days, and one of the most interesting things that we have to think about, Tom, is back in the 50s when AM was through the whole beginning after Spark, we got into CW, and then they figured out they could modulate it. Up until about 1950, 55, along in there, here comes these guys modulating, and then comes single sideband. And we had these little wars, and I mean, they were really wars because the AMers thought they owned it. The sidebanders thought they owned it. So what they did, and I was around. I wasn't part of the deal, but I was right there when it happened. They had a gentleman's agreement in the late 50s, and we have windows. And that's what you want to observe when you're on AM or when you're especially on sideband. You want to observe these windows. 3870 to 3890 is reserved for all AM. You never want to operate sideband there. On 40 meters, really got shortchanged. Only have two frequencies, 7290 and 7295. And 14263 and a couple of others. But most of the AM is done at this time down on in the windows. And Tom, can you address that a little bit? Do you think we're going to be able to maybe publicize that a bit and see if there are other gentlemen out there these days?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think ladies and gentlemen, conduct themselves in a civilized way. And we make an agreement that these are the windows, have to know about them. I'm hopeful that we'll have some more copy in QST forthcoming and on some of our social media about these windows and what they mean and how close you can operate, because of course an AM a transmitter is very different than a sideband transmitter, and it can spill over outside of the window. But if everybody behaves like grown-ups, the AMers can have their slot and sideband and other modes can have the rest.
Exactly. Just like the gentleman's agreement of where on 20 meters the slow scan guys have been for decades and decades, and nobody bothers them. They know that they stay away from there. We have some pictures of what's going on in Newington. Brian, let's see that picture of that Gates transmitter and then Bob Allenson building. That's not one of them, but let's talk about that. That's a homebrew transmitter, AM, that N4 VMY build. He was an incredible classic builder, and that's a copy of one of the early AM transmitters, and WB5HAK Don in Oklahoma just acquired it. I worked him last week a couple of the times, and it's just beautiful. And that's the kind of thing we're seeing in AM. You don't have to have a rig like that, but isn't it fun to have that? Let's see if we can find the Gates. There she is. Talk about there that, Tom. What's going on?
There it is. This is a loan from actually a museum in Maryland, who donated it to the Antique Radio Museum up here in Hartford, in Windsor. And we have it on permanent loan because we're going to be restoring it. This 1,000-watt Gates transmitter came from Page, Arizona, where it was in service from probably in the middle 60s. We've been checking the provenance of it, but we can trace it back to the middle 60s. And if anybody knows KPGE's, that's the station, transmitter, get in touch with us at ARRL. We want to talk to you about the history of it. But anyway, Bob, think about this. You know, you're a business person. Clark's a business person. I used to be one. This is a revenue-earning asset for the people who owned it. It had to work 24/7 without fail. If it shut down, the radio station stopped earning money, and all the people who worked there and their families who depended on it for their living, you know, were at risk. So it had to work. It had to be dependable. And when you open it up and look inside it and see the way it is built, it's really a thing of beauty. Just very conservatively and carefully engineered, lots of room inside. And this morning we had two volunteers in from the Radio Museum in Windsor, and they were lovingly cleaning it with vinegar and toothbrushes. You know, getting all of that caked on dust.
We have a little video of that.
Do we have a video? That would be great if we have a video of that.
Yeah.
Under the
Hi, Bob Allenson here.
There we go.
WB1G Sim, the ARRL Laboratory. I have two special volunteers here. This is Dan Thomas and Larry Butler. They're working on this cool old Gates BC1T transmitter, and they're cleaning it all up and restoring it and trying to gather all the parts together to make it run again. Stay tuned for more details.
Some fun, huh? And anyway, I don't want to preempt Bob's prerogative here, because Bob has done just a yeoman's job in acquiring this transmitter and bringing it up on a truck. He and Mike Gruber came up last weekend with the transmitter disassembled on a truck and installing it in the labs in a place where these volunteers can come in and time. But I'm hopeful that it will be almost as pristine as it was when it rolled out of the Gates factory. We're going to convert it to 40 meters, and we're going to use it for AM.
Oh, that's great. I got a couple of pictures I want to show everyone. Let's bring up, is Dave's picture there, WJ6W? Let's see. Let's do this. That's W0BVT. And all of you guys and gals that's following the pine board project, that's the reason. He builds a lot of stuff on pine board, and I got hammered in that. We're going to talk about that later on. But that's his home transmitter that he built, modulator, power supply on the bottom, modulator and all. And it's just wonderful to see all this stuff. This is the audio section that Bob Allison's putting together for that Gates at the ARRL. And the next picture is of great interest of him studying, what did I do now?
You know, it's really interesting, Bob. That is a on the top of that rack is a brand new design, 350-watt AM only, 40-meter transmitter. It's a beautiful piece of equipment. You can pick it up with two fingers. It's not like your old Viking Valiant. Underneath it is a very sophisticated compressor limiter. and some audio equalization equipment, because you have to be careful. You can wander outside the fringes of the band on AM. And Bob is assembling that. He's reviewing each piece of equipment and the entire package in a soon-to-be forthcoming QST edition. And you'll read all about the resurgence of new equipment in the AM mode.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And I see he's got an Optimod. George has got an Optimod. You listen to George Thomas and you'll see, boy, what a great signal. Next, we have a very interesting picture. That was done in 1958 or so. A friend of mine, W0MPF, and he had this classic station. Just look at that. Collins gear all over and that wonderful big old transmitter. That's what we did to get on AM in the 50s. It's become a lot easier today. But he's got a 5100 there and a transmitter right there by the telephone. That's a Barker and Williamson. And so that was all great stuff. And next, you're going to see the man. I said, Joe, I'm going to take your picture in your 300J, which is a beautiful Art Deco cabinet on his Collins in his station. And said, oh, just a minute. So he gets in there. Now, we photoshopped the filaments glowing. He wasn't in there with the transmitter turned off. First, you can't do that. When you open the cage, it doesn't do that. It kills. And the one on the right is his biggie guy there. So that's Joe. He loves taking these old transmitters and converting them to 160, 75, 40 meters. I thought you'd like to see that fun picture I did with Joe. And then seriously, I can't tell you enough about this station. WJ6W. Dave Jennings and his wife are broadcast engineers. They installed all of the TV stuff in most of the studios in LA. And he's an amazing guy. He started his career in Iowa. And when he was in college, they had a college station, and what you are looking at, especially on the left-hand side of that, are the Ampex tape recorders, the Collins audio board, the Collins turntables. That's exactly the same gear, or like he found replacements, and built his ham radio station around what he used to use when he was in college. Tom, is that cool or what?
That is cool. That is very impressive.
Yes, and he's one of the stalwarts on the West Coast AMI group, and they meet tonight. They meet on 3870 right after Ham Nation, and a lot of times that's where I go. I got to tell you. So and that's been part of the problem. There's been some sideband nets on there hanging on, but they're younger guys, and they're starting to learn, wait a minute, we shouldn't be here. So they're moving up to 39, I think 28 or something. Thank you very much, gentlemen, because this has been a big problem. But on Wednesday night, and it's been going on for 40 years, the AMI West Coast Net on 3870, and there you go. But those are some of the fun things that we do. No, you don't have to do that. You see, my rig at home is a little 30-pound novice transmitter that runs about 60 watts and the little ICO, but I have a modular. We'll go all through that, but you don't have to have all this stuff. You can have a new 7300 ICOM, and I'm going to tell you something. The audio in that is amazing. Have you heard any of those on AM since the new rig's been out, Tom?
I have not, and I'm going to go looking for them because I always felt that AM was a compromise in the creation of a modern transceiver. But I've heard very good things about them, and I'd like to hear them operate on the air.
You will be greatly surprised. You won't be able to pick it out from some of the big dogs right beside it. It is stunning, and all you got to do is turn the knob to AM and talk, and it's really great. Well,
it'll never take the place of my Sixer.
No, I still have my Sixer.
I do too.
There's nobody there to talk to anymore, but oh well, that's another story. But the main thing is to stir up some activity on AM, and that's why I started this Pine Board thing here a few weeks back, not really understanding what was going to happen. Well, the whole ceiling fell in. There are just hundreds and hundreds of people every day coming to me. I'm so thrilled, and we'll get into that after a little bit. But I just wanted to have you and Clark come on and talk about this weekend. Please go to the website, AM Rally. That's just AMRALLY.com. AM Rally, everything's there, all the frequencies, and it starts, what is it, midnight? Clark, are you still there?
Yes, sir. It starts at Zero Zulu on Saturday morning, so that's technically Friday night, and it goes through Sunday night, so there's going to be plenty of day and night time for the folks to try out AM on a variety of bands. And by the way, for you talked about the folks with the lower powered rigs and saying, hey, I only get 20, 25 watts out of my rig. I had a Viking Ranger, and with only 40 watts, it got out great on 40 meters. So, and I was having a QSO with a guy running 3 watts out of a K3, sounding spectacular on AM on 75 meters just tonight, just a few hours ago. So the power thing is not a reason to be discouraged.
No, not at all. I'll show you a picture here in a minute of some. I had a couple of things with Don, VE3LYX. He put together one of the Pine Boards here. I guess last week he did it, running 1 watt, and he's working all kinds of people. So you just never know. You take that 1 watt and plug it into an amplifier, and you could get up with a little more power. However, the main thing is to get on AM and enjoy it. And I bet money the radio, the transceiver you have right now will work beautifully. Just don't be afraid. What are we going to do about frequencies? My last question here as we start winding down, Clark. Are you going to stay right in the window, or are they going to search around a little?
Well, Bob, I'm glad you mentioned that. Because this is an event which is for everybody, it means that if you're used to sideband and you have your favorite frequencies, go ahead and try that. I think that with a lot of people trying out the mode, we really couldn't fit them all into AM windows. So rather, we would prefer people to operate wherever they're comfortable, wherever their license class allows them to operate, whether it's general or extra, and try out AM because it's AM is usable anywhere you can use phone. So be as comfortable as you want, and enjoy the mode of double sideband with a carrier. And I think this is a great opportunity for people to expand their knowledge of their own rigs and get familiar with it. Again, as I said, it's another tool. It's another ability of these rigs, and why not take advantage of it in every opportunity?
Absolutely. And I tell a lot of the guys that are talking to me about working this, be a gentleman, be a lady. Just don't go piling on anywhere. If it's an open frequency, work it. That's my whole deal. I do that all the time. And you wanted to do that anyway, but a lot of people don't do that. So there you go. And before we close, Tom, I want to tell you publicly, your monthly letters to all of us have been fantastic. They're really good. And I know you're not ghostwriting these, and they're just wonderful. So keep up the good work. And everybody listening to me, I was one of those that I repelled the league for years because they weren't doing things. Well, I learned differently, and I'm telling you, it's worth every penny just for this. So QSD back 20 years ago was really, yeah. But now, oh my gosh, there's cool stuff in here. And there's one thing in here that's really kind of cool we're going to be talking about. There's an amplifier they're reviewing that you can put 1 watt in or 2 watts or 3 watts, and it'll give you a little bit of power for your Pine Board. But we'll talk about that later. I just want to tell you how thrilled I personally am with what you're doing with QST, Tom.
Well, thank you. It's really the wonderful team of Becky Schoenfeld and of course, Steve Ford. But we appreciate it very much. And one of the scary things I do every month is try and come up with a topic for an editorial. So that's the hardest thing I have to do here sometimes. Thank you. And Bob and also Clark and Gordon, thank you so much for your leadership and your friendship and your support of this wonderful community. We're very grateful. We couldn't do it without you all.
Well, thank you. My life depends on it. I was licensed in 56, and I have several careers because of ham radio. And the thing is that I've never worked a day in my life because it's all about ham radio to me. So, Clark, thank you for joining us tonight. We'll see you on the weekend. I know we'll work you. Tom, I hope you get around a big transmitter. Go over there and grab one of those beautiful Yaesu ICOM Kenwoods at 1AW, and I'll bet you we'll work you. And for sure, I will be there. And I really look forward to it. So thanks so much for being here. We're going to do more, and we're all of us. I'm sorry that Leo wasn't here tonight. He's on vacation, just started a vacation, but we want to put a night together to have you and Leo Laporte. That's going to be a big show when we have you two guys talking. So thanks very much for being here, and we're going to catch you on the air, Tom. Anything else you have before we cut the cord?
Bob and everybody, bless you, and thank you so much, and we'll be looking for you over the weekend.
Okay, and keep in mind, all of this is going out to WTWW, 100,000 watts, and people all over the globe are hearing these wonderful things about AM, and they can be tuning in too. And we're very gracious to Ted Randall for doing this and trying to promote ham radio the way he does. And I heard a fantastic thing he did last night. He's got a whole 2-minute commercial that he does, and he doesn't charge anybody for it. All about the league. It's really good if you haven't heard it, Tom. Gordo, did you have one thing before Tom leaves?
No, I was just saying, I like you, Bob. That's the first column I turn to in the new issue of QST. And then I find at the very end, he has a follow-up. Tom, you nailed it right on the head. And for the first column, yep, Makers Fair. We've got to get more active and always attend to show off ham radio. Thanks, Tom, for your leadership.
Gordon, thank you, and the best to everybody, and we'll talk with you soon.
Okay, well, we're all amateur broadcasters, but we're going to bring on the big pro guy. Don, are you with us yet? Don Wilbanks. Don is a marvelous broadcaster. I'm not sure if he got joined in yet.
Is it my turn now?
It's your turn.
Yeah, Don.
Hey, you sounded great on WTWW with Ted last night, by the way. And I'm just so thrilled to be on with Ted on the second Tuesday of every month, where we get on and we solve all the problems of the world. And, of course, the problems that we don't solve, your organ playing makes it so much better on WTWW. So good show last night. Just gripping stuff. I was glued to the 7600. As I was listening to it. So let's talk about, let's get off of radio for a sec. I know, my God, why would we want to do that? Well, because I want to talk to you about Hover. If you got a great idea for your blog or a startup, you need to give it a great domain name. And with Hover, it's incredibly easy to set up your domain name with the most popular website builders. Did you know that Hover has over 400 domain extensions? Sure, you can get .com and .net, but you can also get niche designs like .design and .tech. Let's just say you're living in Chicago and you make a mean pie, all right? You want that .pizza? You got it. You got the .pizza. Suppose you're, suppose you got a martial arts studio. .ninja? Maybe you're an equine fan. You can get .horse. I wonder if they have .ham. Ooh, I wonder if they have .don. I'm going to have to find out. Once you find your domain, whatever it is, you can use Hover to connect to set up your domain automatically with your website. Just takes a few clicks. You can also use it to get more on-brand or professional email address, and the domain works with whatever email programs you're already using. And that when all you want to do is buy a domain name or an email address, you shouldn't have to opt out of page after page after page after page of add-on and stuff that you don't want or don't need. That's why Hover only offers domains and email, so you can focus on finding a great domain name and get back to working on your great idea and getting it online. with your domain name. And unlike most other domain servers or providers, rather, Hover provides free Whois privacy with all supported domains to keep your information confidential the way it's supposed to be. And if you already have multiple domains scattered across other domain providers, you can save money by just bringing them all over to Hover. Eligible domains will include Whois privacy. And with volume discounts, the more domains you have in your account, the more of a discount Hover will automatically apply to your account. So with Hover, no more digging through help articles to figure out how you want to get your domain working. It's all right there. And if you do need a hand, just give them a call. Hover's awesome support team is there to help you. No annoying phone trees or transferring to another department. Find a domain name for your idea. Go to hover.com/hamnation. Get 10% off your first purchase. Hover.com/hamnation. Hover. Domain names for your ideas. Bob, I'm looking forward to the AM rally this weekend. I'm actually thinking about foregoing the car show to play on the AM rally. One of our my car club has the big spring car show with the Picayune Street Fair here in Picayune, Mississippi. So I know there's probably going to be enough time to do both, but I don't know. I'm thinking AM is calling my name. You know, I started off my broadcast career on an AM radio station, and I haven't worked too much ham radio AM. But I'm looking forward to the next installment of the Pine Board Project, because this looks like something I may try to try my ham-handed soldering skills at.
Well, we're going to do a little shortened version of it tonight because we've got so much going on, but we've got to get into just a little bit of it. And here's the deal. I have about 1,000 emails, phone calls, postcards, letters, and just every day. It's amazing how many of you have taken to this project. I didn't realize what we were starting, but I'm thrilled about it. And we're starting out with modules on this thing. We built the power supply. And remember, I told you we were going to come around and the power supply, we had to build the preamp first. Let me get this all out here. This is not NBC, so we don't have a really super-duper production. But you know what? That's what makes it fun. Here's the power supply that some of you have already built. And keep in mind that there are some things about it that you want to pay very close attention to. One of them is the fact that we have 300 volts in this thing. And we want to make sure you understand that you've got to build the chipstick. Remember the chipstick. And when you think you turn this thing off, it's not off. Chip, K9MIT, one of the great chat room participants each night came up with this. And then KA7TPH came up with this little guy. You find the ground wire, and before you do anything, you go over here and short out this whole power supply. Just hang it on there for 30 seconds, and it'll all be gone. Now, remember I told you that we were going to do something a little more. Remember the power supply looked like this, but I knew we were probably going to do another cap, and we did. But I couldn't do it until I had to load on it. So we're going to add, in that space we had, another capacitor, and it really doesn't make any difference if it's 16 mics, 20 mics, 25, but it has to be at 450 volts, and a dropping resistor. So now we have that going on. You want to add that resistor, and we'll be covering that next week very thoroughly on the power supply additions. But there it is right there. You need a 10K resistor and the other capacitor. What I did this week, and we're not going to dwell on it an awful lot yet, because I want everybody to understand the power supply and get it working really well. But this is what we're going to be working on next. This is the preamp, and it works really well. Next week, I'll plug it in and let you hear it, and I'll put it to do its task, but it works great. I don't have this plugged in now, so I'm okay. I should have shorted the power supply out with my other lead, but I did that earlier, so it hadn't been turned on. 12AX7, we come out of here. with this comes out at about 100, and I think I came up with 20 volts because of all the new capacitor and resistor sequences. We get to drop that voltage down to where we needed it. 6 volts is the filament, green is the filament, and ground. And then we have some bypass caps here to make sure it doesn't hum. We drop it down again. We'll get into all this next week. We have a wonderful, wonderful thing happening from different people that have done some marvelous work with the diagrams. Look at this. This is just wonderful. And I thank these guys for doing this. Let me get that up on the camera. Look at this. Put you all the parts. And we'll get this to you. This is the preamp. But I don't want you to jump ahead. I want to make sure we all understand what's going on with the power supply. It's very important. We don't want to cause any problems here. We want to make sure this is that, because this is the heart of it. And if you're going to do this project, you build that power supply and get it working really well. And we'll go through some more of that next week. But I wanted to show you a few things. This really makes me feel great. I got lots of pictures. Here's one. Check this out from Gene. He's the guy that did those wonderful drawings. Look at his power supply. Oh, man. He did this right. I'm sorry this camera's all moving around tonight because I only have one camera here with me. But that's what he did. He put a little plexiglass front on it, and he's using spade lugs. He did this really right. But see, he didn't know about the next capacitor, but he's got room to do that so he can get that voltage down where we need it. And we're going to cover all of this next week, but go ahead and do this part, and you'll be ready to rock and roll. Some of the other pictures that I got have just been wonderful. One of my favorites, remember I told you about Antique Electronic Supply. They have a power supply. You could build this instead of what we've shown. This is great because it comes with all the parts, the transformer, all the caps, but it produces all of these different voltages. 25, 45, 67, 90, 135, 1 to 2, all the way out to 6-volt filaments. All of that's in there. And they give you all the parts on pine board. This is great. But here's what Jason did. And this just warms my heart, everybody. Jason took that power supply and he built a receiver. There's the power supply and the receiver. But look what he did to it. See, when you're building stuff, you can think ahead and do stuff. He took all of those voltages that came out of that power supply, so he's got a really cool bench supply. And what's behind there is this supply. I think that darn thing's like $49 or $50. Antique radio supply. That would be really cool, because if you're going to start building a few things, you got it covered right here. What a nice job, Jace. Thank you very much. And then I told you about Don VE3LYX. He built another version of the transmitter. And here's another yet version. He's a real pine board expert. He's been doing this a while. But these are all the different things that you can do with the ideas that we're coming up with here every week. But I wanted to give you this really important thing. I am embarrassed. I am embarrassed because I told you that you could go to ICM and get the crystals. They promised me, because they were going to be closing. They promised me, because I know the people there. They said, no, we'll take the orders till the end of April. Well, they didn't. And so a lot of people have been writing me. Of course they would. What are we going to do? Well, that's what you do. You go down to my friend Bri. We should have went there in the first place. AF4K. Look up his site. He's got a ton of things. AF4K. There's where you get your crystals. And not only does he have the crystals, they're the old style FT243, which a lot of people, including ICM, told me, no, we don't make those. You can't get them anymore. Oh, he's got tons of them, and he will make you whatever you want. You want them on 3885, 3880, or on 40 meters, 7290. We've covered some of that before, but that's what you want to do. Go to AF4K. You also want to dial up the AM phone. That's AMFONE.net for you listening on shortwave. That's an incredible, rich source of everything. I mean, there's all kinds of things going on there. To get vacuum tubes, you go to this one. There's a lot of sales for vacuum tubes, but go to vacuumtubes.com. Yeah, he's really the best. The Giant is Antique Electronic Supply. They have everything. So for all you doom and gloomers that tell Bob Heil, you shouldn't have done this because you can't get parts, I got news for you. You can buy every part of this and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of old radios, receivers, right there. Antique Electronic Supply. So those are some of the things that I wanted to show you. And in closing, here is what I did to the power supply. So you guys and gals that are building the supply, I don't want any emails telling me how bad my video and my cameras were tonight. I'm in the plant. I only have one camera, and it's one of those things. But we're cool. We got it. This is what we did. Originally, I did that just to get it going. But then found out after I put the load on it, we have to put this other capacitor and a 10K resistor. So we come out of here at about 300 volts. We drop it with a 25K, filter it before, filter it after. We go through another 10K, drop it down a little more, and filter that. And that gives you exactly what you need to make that power supply do its thing. So that's pretty much the story of what's been going on. I appreciate so much all of you writing me and calling me. I'm talking a lot of you on the air, so that's cool. The last thing to remember is this. We are dealing with 300 volts. No, you're not going to get crazy, but you're going to take a little care. Keep one hand in your pocket and get the chipstick built, because that's where it's at. You want to be able to short those capacitors long after that baby's been unplugged from the wall. And just be careful. Just be careful. So that's my story for the day. Write me, call me, please get involved. Last but not least, I got your sweet letter. I might have mentioned this last week, that one of the guys is starting to build this, and his daughter has a license, but she really didn't get very active. But when he started building this pine board project, she wants to build one too. So that's happening. I had another letter from a guy, his nephew. They weren't interested in radio. Well, they had their license, but you know, 2 meter handy talky was it. Now, oh, so that is the joy that I get from it. So thanks very, very much, everybody. It's just been a rewarding thing for me. I spend a lot of time making this all happen, but that's okay. That's okay. Don, what do you think? You got your soldering iron warmed up yet?
Not yet, but I'm working on it. That's the kind of stuff that we used to do in high school electronics class back when I was a junior and senior in the late 70s. And I've been looking to get back into that and get into kit building too. But scratch building is just fascinating. So it's something that I definitely want to get into. Get back into some of the old technology. So that's good. Good stuff, Bob. Thanks for bringing that to us. Speaking of technology, isn't it amazing what you can hold in the palm of your hand right here? That and these things right here. Technology, it seems like, is getting smaller and smaller. Handheld radios, cell phones, supercomputers. Science is cramming more and more stuff in a smaller and smaller ICs. And so for hams, this means, like we said, modern handhelds. These things have features that you could not even dreamed of 10 years ago. And think about if Marconi was to pop out of the ground and see this right here. Smoke would blow out of old Marconi's ears, the stuff. He never in a million years could have dreamed of the stuff that we're doing now. And DX Engineering has all of the latest handhelds that put incredible radio performance right in the palm of your hand, just like I have right here. This is an ID51, the original one that I have, but they have the Plus 2 out now, which gives you two D-Star functions, key D-Star functions, terminal mode and access point mode. It can deliver blazing fast data transfer in the digital voice mode. It also features an integrated GPS receiver with an automatic position reply function for added versatility. You can use the radio's dual watch feature. You can listen to FM and AM and shortwave broadcast stations. Yeah, you can listen to WTWW on this thing while simultaneously monitoring your favorite ham bands. The 51A Plus 2 comes in five colors, adds new DV and FM repeater search for comprehensive scans. If you're more a brand Y guy, the Yaesu FT2DR is packed with digital features, yet still wonderfully easy to use. Gives you 2-meter and 70-centimeter coverage, 4-mode operation, including simultaneous voice data digital transmission along with traditional analog FM. It has a good-sized 1.7-inch touchscreen panel on an HT. It lets you easily navigate the intuitive menus, dual watch, dual monitor modes. And if you're on a budget and you just want a nice FM handy talkie, you can't go wrong with the Lenko. Durable, rugged, fits everyone's budget. The DJ500T, it's a great 2-meter, 70-centimeter radio, perfect for field operation, emergency ops. 5 watts of power, 200 memory channels, large dot matrix display, easy to read even with just a quick glance, which is important in emergency situations. You can receive in semi-duplex dual band, VHF, VHF, and UHF, UHF, wide and narrow FM transmit and receive helps cut down on RFI in crowded RF environments like Dayton, or is it Xenia, Hamvention. You also get access to Olenko's free programming software. That makes programming that radio a breeze. Now, this radio has stirred up a lot of commotion. Built-in APRS data communications, the new Kenwood THD74A VHF, UHF tri-bander. This is a great option for backpackers, campers, and bikers. It gives you impressive transmit capabilities on 2-meter, 1.25 meters, that's 220, and 70 centimeters, of course, 440. Better yet, this Kenwood works with both D-Star and APRS simultaneously. It can be set up to receive automatic position and weather information. It's a true multi-band, multi-mode operation with dual frequency reception. A lot of tech crammed into it and a beautiful color display. Looks sharp, feels substantial. Good-looking radio. DX Engineering, of course, you know this ships faster than anybody else in the industry. Get your order in by 10 p.m. Eastern, and if it's in stock, and it likely will be, it'll be on a trek headed your way tonight. Proven products, expert advice, DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe. Go online, request your catalog, or just shop online 24/7, 365 at dxengineering.com/hamnation. dxengineering.com/hamnation. They're great folks. And they give us a lot of help here with putting Ham Nation on the air for you. So go and say hi to the folks and buy yourself a nice toy. That's what you should do, I think. I may have to buy myself one, a nice toy. Right now, though, let's get into the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline while I peruse dxengineering.com, okay? Just go ahead.
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2056, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, March 29th, 2017. The noise floor is rising on the bands, and so are efforts at mitigation. A detailed study is about to get underway at the South African Radio League. They're in search of input and expertise to assist.
The South African Radio League is forming a study group to monitor the rising RF noise floor on the bands and to identify ways to mitigate noise from man-made sources that impacts the radio frequencies. The Radio League is collecting information from radio amateurs who may have expertise or interest in providing input to the study in preparation for a workshop being held on the 22nd of April. The open meeting will take place at the National Amateur Radio Centre in Cape Town. For more details about the workshop on the rising noise floor or to express interest in being a part of the noise study, send an email to sarlregwg@sarl.org.za. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF.
If you've never tried AM mode, now's your chance. Whatever the age of your rig, this time-honored voice communication mode is about to have an event all its own.
What could be better than high-fidelity amateur radio? Nothing. How about enjoying this through a contest known as the AM Rally, which takes place the weekend of April 1st and 2nd? The weekend of AM QSOs not only pays homage to the oldest form of voice modulation, which predates SSB, but encourages all amateurs, even first-timers who've never used AM mode, to switch their rigs out of SSB. Hams are asked to experience the rich sound their contacts have when their signals contain a carrier with double sideband. Perhaps for the first time in their operating careers, the action is happening on 160, 80, 40, 20, 15, 10, and 6 meters, and there's an opportunity to earn certificates as well as learn more about the historic mode of transmission. Hams with transistorized rigs, homebrew rigs, boat anchors, software-based rigs, and many other types of equipment can participate. Even military rigs and rigs converted from AM broadcast qualify. There are separate categories for each type. Please visit www.amrally.com for details. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3 TZD.
For the past few weeks, we've been reminding you that it's time to submit your nominations for this year's Amateur Radio Newsline Bill Pasternak WA6ITF Memorial Young Ham of the Year Award. But our words can only go so far and only say so much. So let's hear some words instead from Alabama's Caitlin Cole, KS3P.
Hi, I'm Caitlin Cole, KS3P, and I was the 2011 Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year. It was a great honor to be chosen as the recipient of this internationally known award, and I was the youngest person to receive it at the age of 11. This award made it possible for me to be an example to other young hams, and this award also shows the amateur radio community that young people are the future of ham radio and that we are doing great things in public service, technical innovation, along with being enthusiastic ambassadors for amateur radio. I'm really looking forward to meeting the 2017 Bill Pasternak WA6ITF Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year at the Huntsville Ham Fest. 73 from Caitlin, KS3P.
Thank you, Caitlin. We are so proud of everything you've accomplished. And if you know of a promising young amateur like Caitlin, visit our webpage at arnewsline.org. Click on the YHOTY tab. Download the nomination form. We'll present the award to a deserving young amateur at the Huntsville, Alabama Ham Fest in August. And for the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online on a repeater near you or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 9930 and 5085 kilohertz. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF, Heather Emby, KB3TZD, special thanks to Caitlin Cole, KS3P, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wellbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation.
All right. Always some good stuff. And yeah, nice to share the word of the AM rally. I'm looking forward to that. So hopefully the sunspots will accommodate a little bit of propagation on AM this weekend. Let's get into the solar update. Brian, if you've got those slides ready. First off, we'll look at the five-day solar storm conditions. Dr. T tells us we're beginning to settle down from a solar storm that's been hitting Earth over the past 3 days. A coronal hole has been rotating through the Earth's strike zone, sending us some fast solar wind that's brought aurora shows all over the world. Absolutely gorgeous pictures, too. It's also caused HF radio blackouts at high latitudes and poor band conditions as at the mid-latitudes. And Dr. T says this should improve over the next several days as the storm wanes and conditions should remain quiet space weather-wise for the next 2 weeks or so. Going to the five-day solar flare and radiation storm outlook, she says the sun this week has two new regions that are flare active. They popped off some mid-level C-class flares and even several non-Earth-directed solar storms. And these C-class flares cause additional noise on the HF bands. NOAA has raised the M-flare threat risk to 15%, which means there's a small chance for radio blackouts this week. The positive thing is that this new activity has raised solar flux levels, so we should enjoy better radio propagation overall through the rest of this week and into next. So that is great news for those of us who want to play around on AM or any mode, really. And if you'd like to check out Dr. T, I thoroughly suggest you check her out on Twitter. Her Twitter handle is at Tamitha Scove. And so there you go. There is your solar update for the week. And going to turn it over to Gordon. And Gordon, you need to watch that high voltage if you're doing the pine board thing, because you don't want to end up like this cat right here. not be good. It's probably not a good idea. You want to watch your chipstick.
Absolutely.
Anything else that sticks out.
Don.
Hey, did you notice that my shirt and the Newsline thing matched your thing up on your wall back there? Did you notice that?
Wow, I did. It was a dead ringer. Good job. And you know, kids,
we Simonized ourselves.
Okay. And Don, kids in ham radio, we look forward to hearing you and your Trans Am on the air this weekend. I'll be on either 7290 or 7295 from Las Vegas for the Woo-hoo! Nevada State ARRL convention. So we'll see everybody in Las Vegas this coming weekend. Now, let's find out what George is doing.
Wear your sunblock. You're going to look like this guy. Wear your sunblock.
That's right. You've got it, Don. All right. Let's go over and see what George is brewing up. George, how are you doing, and how's ICOM America?
Well, I'm doing pretty well, Gordo. You know, I just, we're running kind of late tonight. So I've got what I call a smoke and solder tip I want to present real quick. You know, I've showed you the soldering stations that I use most often, the Weller WLC-100. Bob's got one of these, too. I've got one of these at work as well as this one here is 20 years old. And the little things, very inexpensive. They just run and run and run. And they do a good job of soldering. You can spend a lot more, but, you know, that gets the job done right there. But I wanted to talk about tips for just a moment. You know, you can't just buy a soldering iron. Well, you could and just use a tip that's in it. But what you should really do, and this is one reason that I choose this particular iron, is get some various size tips for it. Before you buy a soldering station or a soldering iron, be sure that you're going to be able to buy tips for it in the future. And with these Wellers, you will be. So here's one tip right here. This is what's currently in my iron. That's kind of a big one right there. With something like this, you can solder larger stuff. You can even solder a PL259 with this tip right here and this little inexpensive soldering station. It'll really get that hot if you crank it all the way up. Most folks use a gun, but you could do it with this. And larger stuff, that's the tip I use. But I've got three more different sizes that I always keep on hand, and that's these three right here. This first one is a little smaller than the one I just showed you. That's my everyday tip there. That's good for most of your connectors. Some PC board work, you know, the old through-hole component stuff. That you can get a little bit smaller, though, if you're going to be working on some tighter PC board stuff. That's this one right here. And if you're going to do surface mount, you can even find a tip small enough to do that. So there's your smoke and solder tip for this week. Get you a soldering iron, but get you some various tips as well, because those are really going to come in handy. I did want to give away something here. You know, Bob showed us his preamp tonight that he had been working on. And last week's question, I wanted to come up with something kind of in tune with what Bob was doing. And so I asked the question, what is the filament voltage of that 12AX7 tube? And I didn't intend for it to be a trick question, but it kind of turned out that it was. You know, normally on consumer tubes like that, receiving tubes, the first number on there is going to tell you the filament voltage. So right off a 12AX7, you would think that's a 12-volt filament voltage on that tube. And in most cases, you would be right. However, in this particular case, you're not. That filament is actually center tapped. Here's a diagram right here. You can see the filament right here. Well, I can't do this backward. There's a filament right there on pin 6. You see there's a center tap coming off of it. So there's two different ways that you can wire it. You can just wire straight between pins 4 and 5 at the top here. If you want to run 12 volts in, that'll put the two elements of the filament in series. Or you can connect them in parallel using tap number 9 there. And just pins 4 and 5, tie them together. You could run 6.3 volts into that. So it's got two different possible voltages there. And John Mardock, KR0P, knew that. He said, George, the 12AX7 has a center tap filament, so you can run 12.6 volts when the filaments are a series configuration, or 6.3 when you're using a center tap and they're fed in parallel. Congratulations, John. You're going to receive from our friends at DX Engineering this nice DX Engineering Sport Bag. These are really great bags here. I carry this one with me to Hamvention every year and anywhere else. It's a great overnight bag, but even better than that, it's great for putting your ham gear in and carrying it around as well. For next week, I've got another question here, and this one's going to come from the Book of Gordo Extra Edition. Yes, that's right. It's Gordon West Radio School Extra Study Guide. So this question might be a little bit harder than some of them we've covered. And tonight's question is, which of the following amateur bands most frequently provides long path propagation? Is it going to be 80 meters, 20 meters, 10 meters, or 6 meters? Well, if you know the answer to that, even if you don't, you can send the wrong answer. You just won't win. But send it to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com. Next week, we're going to give away this MFJ 133, or is it 113? It's MFJ 113 giant LED clock. It's an alarm clock, but what's really cool about this clock is it's got a big display, but you can choose to display in 12 or 24-hour format on it. HamNationContest@gmail.com. Tell me which band provides the best long path propagation. We'll be back in just a moment, but first, let's get a message from our friends at ICOM.
It's time to put away those winter boots and spring forward with ICOM. Base stations, mobile transceivers, handhelds, and more, ICOM has all the equipment to help make your spring full of adventure. Get out and get mobile with ICOM. Communicate with the touch of your fingertips. Perfect for small spaces, the IC7100 is the ideal D-Star option to help communicate anywhere. Angled control head and touchscreen for quick intuitive operation, large internal speaker for clear digital audio, and is perfect for multi-band and all-mode communications. Do you have spring travel plans this year? Back for a limited time, the IC7200 is a great option for hams wanting a device to carry out into the field. Simple and tough with IFDSP, digital noise reduction, and USB port for PC control. Ideal for the ham on the go, try the IC7300. It's a high-performance, innovative HF transceiver with a compact design, RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, SD memory card slot, and more. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur for more information on all ICOM radios.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation. Register for some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. While you're there, learn how you can win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And for March, it's going to be the ICOM ID51A+2 VHF UHF handheld, dual band, dual watch, does both analog and D-Star, built-in GPS receiver, DV and FM repeater list function, independent AM/FM receiver, and you can even get a free Android app for it. Fantastic handy talkie there, and you could win. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation. Register to win. Sign up, good luck, and don't forget to follow ICOM America Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And I saw Amanda in here just a moment ago. Amanda, how's it going tonight?
Very good. Let's show this off, you guys. Here's our soldering station. Just want to show it off real quick. It's not a Weller or anything.
That's a hot air solder station.
And?
Yep. You're equipped.
Yes, he loves using it because he does a lot of heat shrink stuff on there as well. So, and surface mount stuff, so helps him out. All right, let's move right on to the questions. Bob, first question. When operating an AM, is there any need to make any adjustments to your EQ compared to what you would do on SSB?
Oh yeah, usually you'll want to really roll off the low end because it really does it on sideband too, but some of the guys don't understand that. It really sucks up the power, and you lose a lot of articulation up in the mid-range when you really need it. So you'll want to do that. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to build the preamp starting next week, but then I'm going to build a second one also with some equalization in it so you can build whichever. That's the whole idea here. This isn't one guy's thoughts. As you saw tonight, we're having all kinds of different things come in, and it just makes me so thrilled that guys are thinking, they're doing their own thing. That's what happens with homebrew gear. You can do it. But yes, we do definitely need a little bit of equalization control to really get the great performance of AM.
Thank you. And I also think that there's going to be a nice enough people like Bob there on AM to let you know that to maybe adjust your audio a little bit. So they're always helpful hams. One other question, Bob. I had seen this in the chat room. I don't remember who posted it, but he said, I can't participate because I don't have a beam. All I have is a 20-meter dipole set up. Is that true? Do you have to have a beam? What can these people do real quick to go out this before this weekend and set something up that they could play around on AM?
Good grief. Who told him that? No. Go out and just do – you can build a simple dipole. And that's all you need. Put it up 20 feet, 30 feet. You don't need to get it 100 feet. You will be amazed of who you will work. And just get it up. Do it. I say it all the time. Don't be shy. Just do it. And you'll be greatly surprised sometimes. And, hey, if it doesn't work, then we can do something else. But I'll bet you a free dinner at Dayton if you show up. By golly, you put something up, it'll work. You just got to do it. And that's what's beautiful about this hobby. And have fun with it. You don't need a big antenna to make contacts. And no, you won't be on top of the pile up. But when all the big dogs are done calling, three or four of them, call them and you'll be there. I think Gordo will, I think he's going to tell you the same thing. Right? Is he still here? What about you, George?
I guess not.
He
is not. What
about
you, George? George still here?
Yes. I'm going to say in every single instance I've encountered, putting an antenna up always works better than not having an antenna at all. You know, you just put up something, try it out, see if it works. Sure, you want to cut it to resonance, do the best you can, but you're going to be able to do something with almost anything that you hang out there.
That's right.
I think that's Bob's motto, isn't it? Bob, you always say, just put it up. Just throw out a wire. See what you can do with it. Fix it later.
Remember a couple years ago, maybe we ought to do that again this spring. I had a R&L, Roger, at R&L Electronic. I can't ever get out in the flea market to buy things and so on. But I said, I want a rig for $100, $150. It's got to work. And so he got it. It was an ICOM 730. We brought it in. I went out in the backyard and built a dipole for 40 meters, 33 foot. Hooked up a piece of coax. No, I didn't have a ballon. No, I didn't have an SWR meter. Didn't care. Because back in the original days, we didn't have SWR meters. We cut it to length. Bingo. I put it on. It was about 20 feet high, I think, maybe 15 or 20 between a pair of cherry trees. The first station I worked was in London, England.
Wow.
So we did it. You could see it. You go back in some of those early ham nations. We'll do that again. And I'll guarantee you somebody's going to hear you. I think everybody will agree to that. So that's my motto. Put it up and see if it works. Then we'll do something better.
All right. Well, thanks, you guys. Wonderful, wonderful segments tonight. It was so nice having Tom Gallagher on, and so many nice comments in the chat room tonight. They just wanted to hear more and more from him. So one of these days, we're going to have him on for some Q&A afterwards. But anyhow, let's move on here. We've got some nets going on here right now. Starting, we've got D-Star Net on 14 Charlie. We have the EchoLink Do Drop In Net going on. And let's not forget, 40 Meter, 7180. We've got Kevin hosting that. And if he's still around, we have Steve hosting the 14268 20 meter net. So you guys check it out. Go listen around. See what you can check into. If bands are open, you can check into everything. So that's what I've got. Thanks, Bob. Back to you.
Well, Amanda, thanks. And thanks to everybody tonight for standing by. We kind of relinquished a lot of time to Tom, as it should be. And he and Clark brought us all this information. We're going to see you this week on the AM rally. I don't want to get on here next week and see the chat room. Oh, I got scared. No, I don't. Get on the air. There's going to be thousands of stations. I'm telling you, it's going to be a big deal. AM. Push that AM button. Watch your ALC so you're not driving it too hard. You'll be fine. And we'll look forward to seeing you. So thanks, everybody. Brian, you're a trooper. We really brought you through it tonight, buddy. So tell Leo to increase your pay. And we'll see you all back here next week. And what else can we do but have fun on Ham Radio? Thanks to Ted Randall and everybody over at the Big Transmitter. We'll talk to you next week right here. This is K9EID, and I'm in Fairview Heights in the Ohio Sound Plant tonight. So long.